Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Well, have you ever received an amazing Christmas gift and not appreciated it? My mother-in-law is known to give really great gifts, and I have to stop and give a shout-out because she's worshiping today down in Sullivan. Hey, Sullivan fam, and if you're joining us at Bloomington Normal or on Vineyard Live, thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Well, last year for Christmas, my mother-in-law gave me something that I really wanted, an Instant Pot. Okay, I have my eye on this, but I don't know if you know or not, they're kind of expensive, and so I hadn't, decided to buy it for myself, and she surprised me with one. Now, the truth is I kind of have a love-hate relationship with appliances like this. I hate to admit this, but I'm not a crockpot girl. I want to love my crockpot, but I often find that it's hard for me to find recipes that I like, not to mention that my children like. Now, my husband says I have an unhealthy need for my children to both eat and enjoy their dinner. And I say this is a problem of all mothers. All mothers want their children to enjoy and compliment them on their dinner skills. Bonus points if my children eat meat and vegetables. I feel like a super mom. Can I get an amen? Right? We want our kids to eat. So I had really high hopes for this Instant Pot. I thought this thing is going to change my world. I mean, I'd read all these, accounts of people, how amazing they are, and they were breaking sales record after sales record. So I open up the Instant Pot, and I pull it out of the box, and instantly, no pun intended, I am overwhelmed. There are so many buttons. You have to pressurize it. And I thought to myself, is this thing going to blow up my house? So I tried to give myself a pep talk, like, hey, you can learn this. Let's do this. So I researched a recipe. I found a mac and cheese recipe, and I thought, surely my children will eat this, and they will thank me profusely for feeding them. Well, unfortunately, my children did not like the mac and cheese recipe, and so it could have been user error. I could admit that. But I told myself I wasn't going to give up on the Instant Pot, but in the meantime, I was going to find a place for it in my kitchen, and I put it into a cabinet, and I shut the door. And I'm embarrassed to admit that it's been almost a year, and that Instant Pot has sat there collecting dust. I actually told my mother-in-law, because I actually really want to enjoy this gift, and thank you for giving it to me. I feel bad. I feel guilty that I actually haven't really enjoyed this gift. I want to enjoy this gift. In fact, sometimes I find myself online looking at recipes, trying to work up my courage to try again, and yet I just don't. It sat there for nearly a year collecting dust. I have the opportunity to enjoy an amazing gift, and I'm choosing not to. Well, why do I tell us this story today? I tell it to us because I believe that there was a gift given by God at Christmas that's available to everyone that we're not fully enjoying. In fact, this is a gift that sometimes is overwhelming to us. It's abstract. It can kind of be sometimes challenging to fully understand. Sometimes we're tempted to ignore this gift or resist it or even worse, quench it. But just like the Instant Pot has the ability to take random ingredients and produce, so they say, amazing concoctions, this gift, when we receive it, when we enjoy it, it can transform our lives. So what was the first gift of Christmas? No, it wasn't gold, frankincense, or myrrh. Rumor has it those were on the must-have list 20 years ago. It wasn't a ticket to heaven. In fact, the first gift of Christmas was not a thing. The first gift of Christmas was God Himself. His Son, Jesus, His very presence came here to earth. And now, through His Holy Spirit, we can experience His presence every single day. You see, His presence is available to every single one of us who have said yes to Jesus, and it should change our lives. And yet, many of us, we walk throughout life not tapping into the incredible power and love that His presence can give us and brings out in us. And so today, we're going to begin this journey for the next month where we explore what is God's presence? How can we enjoy it? How can we partner with it? How can we steward it with our new series, Presence, the First Christmas Gift? And I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit himself to be our teacher today and to teach us what he wants to teach us about his very precious gift. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today to be the teacher, God. We welcome your presence here, God, to transform us, to remind us who we are. And so we just say, come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in this service today. We love you, and we want ears to hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I find when I don't use a gift that someone has given me, it's usually because I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to enjoy it, or it's overwhelming and complicated to me. And so I haven't even really experienced the benefits of it, and therefore I'm not motivated to try to use it. And so it's kind of like this cycle. And so I think today we want to take a look at just asking the question, what is the presence of God, and why is it a valuable gift? Because we don't want this gift sitting in a cupboard. We don't want this gift collecting dust. We don't want this gift having to be watched instead of lived. We want to experience this gift for ourselves. You know, the presence, or the presence of God, it's a term we use in church kind of a lot. Like, you'll hear people say, oh, did you feel the presence? Or, man, the presence was thick. But I think if we asked ourselves, what is the presence of God? If we polled different people, you'd have all different answers. It makes us feel like, is the presence a thing? Is the presence a feeling? Can it come and can it go? How does the presence operate? And so, very simply, we believe that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he was born and then lived as a man, died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he made it possible for us to become temples of the living God. And Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, lives in and through us. So the presence is a person, and that person is his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is the way that we relate to him. It's the way we connect with him. It's the way that we are in relationship with our Father. Now, where this gets confusing is that there's multiple ways that we experience the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you a question. If I was to say right now, where is God? What would you say? Some people would probably say, well, God's in heaven. And how many of you would agree with that? Yes, nod your head. Good. Good job. Good job. Everyone's already gotten an A, so you can just relax. Yes, God is in heaven. But others of you might say, well, God is, he's with us right now. He's in the room with us. And would you agree? Nod your head. Good, good, nod your head. Yeah, he is here. He's here, and he's in Sullivan, and he's in Bloomington, and he's wherever you're at. God is with us. But I think there's a piece of presence that we don't fully understand that I want to dive into today. Because not only is God in heaven, not only is God with us, but God is in us. And this changes the way that we live our everyday lives. You see, God's presence is about him being with us and in us. And that means that we can experience God's presence in a lot of different ways. But he never goes. He's never gone. You know, we can experience the presence of God in a really intense way. How many of you have been in a worship service here, or maybe a Holy Spirit night, come back tonight? And you've felt something in the room. Maybe you felt like this tangible love, or maybe you felt like a weight come over you. How many of you have felt that before? Yeah, that's the presence of God. But how many of you have been at a store, or maybe you're in the, you know, the drive-thru, and you hear a little voice in your head say, pay for the person in front of you? I know I have. That's also the presence of God. You see, we experience the presence of God in many different ways. And so maybe you felt confused, like, well, I'm not really sure what the presence is or what the presence isn't. And so today, we kind of want to unpack, how do we experience God? And the main person which we experience God through is his Spirit. Because his Spirit is here. He's with us and he's in us. And this changes the way that we live our lives. Okay, so I think it's important that we look to see, What does God say about his presence? Because we're asking ourselves, okay, so the presence is a person. The presence is the Holy Spirit. The presence is how we experience God. Great. Why is this important for me? Our Father is a relational Father. He wants to know you intimately. He wants to relate to you. He wants to connect to you. And the main vehicle in which he does this is through his presence. So if right now, if you're in a place where you say, I need joy, guess what? The presence is here and he wants to give you joy. If you're in a place right now and you're saying, I need financial breakthrough, I'm not going to make it. I want you to know that the presence of God is here and he's here to empower you with stewardship and breakthrough. If you right now are saying to yourself, you know, I can't do Christmas. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I can't do my family. I can't do all the stress. I can't do it. The good news is you don't do it alone. God is with you and he's in you. You see, this is actually the secret to the Christian life. Paul says this. He says, the secret to the Christian life is Christ in you. How is Christ in you? Through his Spirit. So this is the secret. When I was just 12 years old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that I've never been filled. I had not been filled up to that point. There was an incredible move of God happening in this house. I was raised in this church. And I felt the tangible love and power of God. And from that day forward, I've not lived a day without his presence filling me. Now, have I always been aware? No. Have I always partnered? No. Have I always enjoyed the gift? No. But I've always had the gift of his presence in me. Do you want to know the number one byproduct of his presence in our life? Joy. Right now, I just want you to take a little assessment of yourself. Where is your joy at right now? Is your joy based on circumstances? Is your joy based on the things that are happening around you? Or are you experiencing joy despite every natural circumstance that should cause you to feel pain? I want to read to you right now what it says in Psalms. This is what it says in Psalm 16:11. This is the Lord's promise over our life. It says, you will show me the way of life. How many of you want to know the way of life? You don't want to live on your own. You want to know the way of life. And this is what he says, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. You see, this is God's will for us, that he would show us the way of life, that we would live in relationship with him, and that we would know joy with one another. That's what God wants to give us in this first gift of Christmas, and that's what we want to spend time unpacking. But really, to understand this gift, I actually think we have to go backwards. You know, isn't it so interesting how when we look back, we can so easily look forward? And I think so often we, you know, especially like younger generations, we throw out what's come before us, and we just think that we're going to do it on our own, and there's so much rich history behind us. And so I want to go back to the very beginning of the book, really, like to Genesis, where God is going to show us that his plan all along is actually for relationship. He actually has a plan to be near to his children from the very beginning. So in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and he put them at the epicenter of relational connection, the Garden of Eden. And while they lived together in the Garden of Eden, they were in complete union with each other. They were physically in each other's presence. God walked and talked with them. And they had this intimate friendship, this intimate relationship with one another. But Adam and Eve decided to sin, and that disobedience broke the relational presence that they shared with one another. It changed everything. And Adam and Eve were forced into exile. They no longer could live in the garden. They could no longer experience the full presence of God. God was not going to forsake them, but they were cast out of that intimate place with God. And then we begin to read in the Word the story of God's people, the Israelites. You see, after Adam and Eve, after they were exiled, humanity continued to grow and to multiply, and eventually the nation of Israel is birthed. And there's a distinguishing factor in the nation of Israel, and it's this. They know they are people of God's presence. They know that God's presence is with them. Now, it's not in them yet, but it's with them. And this was really different than the other religions of that day, because if you think about the other religions that were happening during the time that Israel was being birthed, these religions, they had idols made of wood and stone that people would have to worship, but they couldn't talk, they couldn't listen, they couldn't speak, they couldn't love. Or maybe that there were idols or gods up in the sky far away that the people were trying to appease. But the people of Israel, they knew their distinguishing factor was that their God had made them, their God knew them, and he longed to rebuild that fractured relationship with them. And so we see this story unfold in the Old Testament. And so in the Old Testament, we see that God's presence comes on certain people in certain situations for certain reasons. Many of you have probably read the story of Moses and the burning bush, where the presence of God falls on a bush, and Moses is given his destiny to help the people of Israel get to the promised land. And a little while later, the presence of God falls on Mount Sinai, where Moses is given the Ten Commandments and the other law. Eventually, God's presence resides and rests in what's known as the tabernacle. This was like a mobile tent that they could carry with them as they made their way into the promised land before they were able to build the temple. And of course, Solomon is able to build that temple. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says that when they built that temple, the glory of the Lord fell and filled the Holy of Holies. Now, again, it's so hard for us to understand, but the Holy of Holies was an inner sanctuary inside the temple where the high priest could go one time of year to be in the presence of God. But this was amazing to the people of Israel. They were so thankful. The presence of God was here, and they saw the temple as a place that they could go, that their God lived and dwelled. Unfortunately, through disobedience, Israel lost the presence of God. And the temple was destroyed. They were taken off into captivity. And for hundreds of years, the Israelites live under the rule and reign of other people. But they do not give up hope because there were prophets. And these prophets, they foretold of a time in which God would once again dwell among them. You know, in Isaiah prophesies that a virgin will conceive and she shall have a son and he should be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And then in Ezekiel said this, I will make my home among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Malachi, he foretold of a time that God would once again dwell amongst his people. And so Israel, they held on to hope. But here's what they thought in their head. They thought God's going to have to rebuild his temple so that he has a place to dwell among us. But God did that. That wasn't actually going to be God's plan. God had a much better plan in mind. And so here's where we pick up the Christmas story. Did you know that all that stuff came before the Christmas story? It's so good to understand the whole story of God. So good. Don't be afraid of your Bible. So here we are. We're at the Christmas story. And the Christmas story is the beginning of our relational reconnection happening. This is the beginning of the intimacy that God wants to restore with us coming to pass. You know, when we read the Christmas story, I think we read it with such familiarity, we kind of like browse over all these like major details, okay? And so today I just want to encourage us, let's look at this story with fresh eyes. Don't you love how God just uses the ordinary? You know, he could have chosen to be born in a palace to a status family, and instead he picks a couple of teenagers. Did you know that Mary was probably between the ages of 12 and 14? A normal girl engaged to a humble carpenter named Joseph. And, you know, they probably dreamed of a life of, you know, growing a family, having a great woodworking business. Hopefully they would love each other, worship together. And yet all of that changes when Gabriel visits Mary and tells her that God is on the move. And I'm going to pick up now. I'm in Luke 1, and I'm going to tell you what Gabriel says to her about God's plan for his nearness to his kids. He says this to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." You know, I think we read this and we're like, okay, great, angel showed up. Check, she's going to be pregnant. She is a teenager. And she actually knows where babies come from. And so she says to herself, this is not possible. And so she's like, I'm going to ask Gabriel. Gabriel, how can this even happen? I've not even been with a man. And this is what Gabriel says to her. The Holy Spirit, God's presence, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. You see, in this moment, what Gabriel is saying to Mary is, you've been chosen. God's presence that your people have been waiting for, he's coming, and he's going to grow inside you. You see, it's her decision in this moment. Again, can we just put ourselves in her shoes for a minute? She's a young, scared teenager, and she has a choice. She has a choice. You know what that choice was going to mean for her? That forever she was going to be labeled an adulterer. That forever her child was going to be seen as illegitimate. That forever her husband, Joseph, was going to be questioned for his observation of the law. And yet this is her response back to Gabriel. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I think there's a lot of wisdom in our teenagers. And I really think that the Holy Spirit is just breathing afresh in this season to say that everybody gets to play. His presence lives in every person that says yes to him. Because here's the deal. When Mary says yes, God's plan begins to unfold. She becomes the first person since Adam and Eve to actually have the living God living inside her. And she's going to enable all of us to eventually have that same privilege. Because here's what happened. She bore Jesus. She raised him. He lived his life. He went to the cross. He died his death. He rose again. You see, Jesus was sent as the temple. And when he died for us and as us, we became the temple. We no longer have to go to a place to experience the presence of God. We are the place. And that's the message of the first gift of Christmas. You see, this presence, it lives with us and in us. And that's what Jesus was doing when he came to earth. This same Jesus who raises the dead and casts out demons and sets people free. He lives in me and he lives in you. And he wants to empower us this holiday season to actually live with his presence fully in our lives. It's so good and it's so true. We don't want this precious, precious gift to go to waste. You know, I love how 2 Peter talks about what Jesus did. You see, Jesus, what he had to do was he had to live as us so that we could live as him. It's a deep mystery. I don't understand it all, and I don't pretend to understand it all, and it actually gives me great comfort that I don't understand everything that God does. He's the God of the universe. I hope he's smarter than me. Some of you can take that. You can just take that. I was just free. This is what he says. He has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. See, at Christmas, he threw out the Christmas budget. Husbands, take note. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature. This is a deep mystery. But what he's saying here is that we actually get to partake of God's divine nature. We get to become the very temple where God chooses to dwell. In us and through us, we have access to him 24/7. We have been grafted together with him. We are part of his family. And guess what? When you're in a family, you get to have access to the family bank account. So whatever needs you have, his presence is there to fill it. Whatever brokenness is in your life, his presence is there to heal it. But he needs us to realize that this is a gift we must receive, we must enjoy, and then we must share with the world around us. This is what he wants for us. So you might be asking, well, how do I actually receive this gift? Like, okay, it sounds great. It sounds really good. Okay, so how do I actually receive it? And I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you. Do you know that God loves his Bible? And that I want you to love your Bible too. And you don't have to be afraid of this book. God wants to give you eyes to see the whole story that he's writing. But I want to read to you right now, just real simply from 1 John 12, and this is what it says. This is how we receive. But to all who did receive him, listen, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How do we receive this amazing gift? It's so easy. We believe. You don't even have to go on Amazon and click buy. You're just going to believe. You're going to believe that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again, and now he lives in you. And that is what actually gives you the right to become children of God and live with this incredible gift of presence. I'm not going to keep reading that just for the sake of time. There's one more scripture I want to read to us because I do get this. Like, it's kind of like, okay, so we believe and we can receive this gift, but how does this actually work? How does this gift of presence actually benefit and help us? And you know what I love about the Holy Spirit? He's just helping us even receive the gift. It's like he's the gift that keeps on giving. He like is like the best instruction manual. I love, Graham Cook says he is a genius at life. So this is not a gift that he gives you that he says, okay, good luck, figure it out. No, he's actually going to move right inside you and he's going to help you figure it out along the way. This is his promise to us. It says this from Ephesians 2:22, and I'm reading from the Passion Bible, awesome Bible translation. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. It's so good. It's so good. And I feel so excited about it. So what's the problem? The problem is we have this amazing gift, this gift that we can tap into every single day, and yet we so easily ignore this gift. We quench it. We resist it. We don't enjoy it. You know, isn't it almost embarrassing how quickly we forget about the presence of God? I mean, a day can go by. I hate to admit, a week can go by. And we're not even really tapped in to the ever powerful presence of God in our life. So last week, I had the privilege of hosting my family for Thanksgiving. And we had 10 adults and 16 kids for 2.5 days at my house. And that's 7 meals if you're counting. And one of those meals was Thanksgiving. And then it was also my second son's 8th birthday. And he made me make no less than 4 of his favorite treats for everybody. So needless to say, it was chaotic. There was never-ending dishes. I can't tell you how many times I threw toys back into the basket and fluffed the pillows and, you know, told kids to slow down. I mean, my mudroom, it looked like a war zone. Hats and gloves and mittens and leaves and mud, and I actually took a picture to like remind myself of how I never want my house to look again. And I found myself just feeling agitated, like, when are these people going to leave? When are they? I mean, I love all you if you're watching. I found myself really agitated, and then I felt a little tap on my shoulder. And as I'm telling you this story, the truth is I didn't really want to tell you guys this story. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, oh, no, you should definitely tell this. So here it goes. So he taps me on the shoulder, and he says, hey. And I'm like, listen, I'm really busy. I got to keep focused. He's like, hey, do you want some help? And I was like, oh, yes, please. You know what he said to me? He said, I actually want to give you patience and peace as your nieces and nephews destroy your home. I want to give you energy because you're really not going to sit down for 2.5 days, but I'm going to give you energy. I want to give you love for these people because I love them so much. And in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit fall on me, and I looked around the room and I saw the babies that we'd prayed for and the marriages that we'd prayed stay strong and were restored after a hard season. And I just allowed the love of the Holy Spirit to overflow out of me, and I felt his presence oozing out of me, and I felt myself becoming supermom again. But this is how the presence of God actually wants to move and live in each of our lives. You know, some of us today, we're saying, we want to experience the presence of God more, but it's like me with my Instant Pot. There's so many buttons. Is this thing going to blow up my life? And yes, the presence of God is going to blow up your life, but in the very best way. because he is an amazing teacher, he is an amazing helper, and he wants to do for you what he's done for everyone, empower them to live the very best life. Now, some of us today, we're feeling insecure. We're like, you know, I can experience the presence when I come into this room or one of our other campuses, but I can't really do it on my own. Then you probably understand that God is with you, but what you need a revelation of is that God is in you. You don't need to go somewhere to experience God. You can experience God wherever you live and work and play. You know, God, he's not up in the sky, far away from us, removed. He is reigning in heaven, but he is also here on earth. He's with us and he's in us, and he wants to empower us this holiday season to actually live with this gift of presence. And so today we begin this journey. We begin this journey that we're actually going to take the whole month, where we're going to ask, how do I steward everyday presence? How do I partner with the Holy Spirit every day? How do I actually recognize when the presence is moving? And how do I cooperate? How do I steward this gift that God has so graciously given me? And that's the journey that we're going to go on today, but I have an action step for us this week. This is what I think we need to ask the Holy Spirit to do for us. We want to awaken an awareness of Holy Spirit in our everyday life this week. We want to awaken our awareness of his presence. I'm told that the young kids are calling it woke. We want to be woke. I hope I'm using that right. You guys can let me know. To the Holy Spirit alive in each one of us. Jesus paid a deep price. He went to the cross and he rose again so that we could become the very dwelling place of God. The Holy Spirit loves you. He's for you. He cares about your coming and your going. He cares about your pain and your joy. He wants to fill you afresh this season so that you can actually do this season with so much Spirit, it just pours right out of you. He's a genius at life, and rumor has it he's even going to help me overcome my fear of my Instant Pot. I hope you'll join us on this journey as we truly become people of God's presence. I'm going to pray. Well, Jesus, we want to be joy-filled people, God, and we know that our joy is actually in your presence, God, with your Spirit, as you tell us who we are. I just hear the Father saying, remind them. So this is what I believe he's saying to us. He wants to remind us that when we're in his presence, we know we belong to him. That when we're in his presence, we know who we are. And that when we're in his presence, we know what we're called to do. And so, Jesus, we just thank you for this beautiful truth that you are both with us and in us. And God, make us more aware of your presence. Make us woke, God, to what you're doing in and through us, God, not just for ourselves, but so that we can give it to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.